I dabble.
All right, cool. We've got Craig in here, and I think we're all good to go. So, hey there, guys. Welcome to the Synthetics Community Governance Call. I can't believe it's already been, you know, another 3 months has went on since the last one. I just want to start off with saying it's so great to have the community, CCs, council members, and ecosystem partners all in one place. The Synthetics ecosystem is, you know, truly amazing. You know, to witness and see how it grows over this time and over these years. I'm excited to have all of you here today, and we'll get started. So the first thing on the agenda, we'll kick it over to KSET from the Spartan Council to do a brief little epoch update from the Spartan Council.
Hey guys, it's been a very exciting epoch for council this round. We've had a lot going on, helping finish wrapping up V2X scope and approving accounts as the first V3 SIP. I think we've got some really high impact things that we've passed, starting with direct integrations and the Curve direct integration that should really help us scale with some of our partners and align with everybody long-term, encouraging people to build with and on Synthetics. We've also passed dynamic fees for atomic swaps, which will be huge once that gets implemented. We can start scaling that volume back up. From a governance standpoint, Terabellus has really led the charge. We passed an inactivity threshold for dismissal of inactive council members, as well as changed the minimum council members to, I think it's N-1 for a fully operational SC. We've launched some new PERP markets. Bert Rock can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we've got OP, XMR, Doge, and debt ratio futures launching, as well as we've had a few adjustments to the C ratio, but it seems like we finally settled, at least temporarily, until the liquidation mechanism goes through with the escrow liquidations at 350, where we're in agreement with Gauntlet at the moment. And most notably, I think everyone here survived and thrived throughout the POS merge. A huge shout out to all the CCs. Like, everybody did a really fantastic job. And that's it. Let me know if I missed anything.
No, that was great. Thank you so much, KSET, for doing the Spartan Council update. So on the agenda, we have intro new CCs, but we do not have any new CCs for this time. So we'll be going right over to Purpose V2 with Afif. He actually just dropped a pretty big brain SIP today, detailing what Purpose V2 will look like. But I will let him do a bit of a deep dive into it.
Oh, I did not realize Purpose V2 was at the top of the agenda. Cool. So for those of you who saw SIP 279, 280 was also merged. That's from Leo. Basically, 280 is a way to scope in upgradability into SIPs. I'm not going to go into too much detail on that, but Leo figured out a way to make it work. And so that'll be pretty useful in the iteration process. 279 kind of is like a high level overview of all of the mechanistic changes that are coming or that are being proposed, I should say. I plan to update it more a couple times before it's actually voted on. I just wanted to kind of touch on all of them there. I would say that, like, there was a lot of iteration in getting to this kind of final state of what we felt like was a something that was ready to be proposed in terms of what could be done on a fairly expedient pathway and what would solve a lot of the problems that we've kind of like experienced in V1. I would say, like, and probably users will agree, some of the pain points from V1 have been, like, obviously high fees, right? Being able to list other markets with maybe less trivial open interest limits, being able to scale existing open interest limits on even liquid markets like ETH. These are all, I would say, some of the pain points where V1 was severely constrained and not super scalable. And I think we've largely made a pretty big dent on some of those concerns in V2, I would say. So I'll go into some of the mechanism changes right now. The first is kind of a change where we finally are making this this break from the concept of infinite liquidity. So SIP 181 was voted in a while ago for simulated liquidity, but we kind of bounced around a bunch of different ways this could be implemented in perps. And in perps, I think the way that makes the most... Actually, I'm just going to pause real quick and share. People can hear me, right? Like my mic is coming through clear and everything?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, you're loud and clear. You're all good.
Okay, awesome. It occurred to me that I hadn't done a sound check before I started to make sure I'm not screaming into the void. Yeah, cool. So yeah, we kicked around a few ways that might be good to do simulated liquidity. And the one that I think is the best trade-off in terms of like UX and risk management is basically if you have what we imagine simulated liquidity as before, but premium or discount or whatever persists over, you know, indefinitely. And what you eventually come to is this price quoting methodology where you're just quoting prices based on with some like skew adjustment, basically. So if there's no skew, the price quoted would just be the Oracle price. If there's long skew or a lot of long skew, like it creates a premium. So like, let's say you start from no skew and somebody wants to make a really large trade, then you're going to incur more and more price impact. And then basically the premium that you pay is basically stored there, right, in the market, and it can be earned by somebody else. So if you make a large trade when the price is 100 and you push the price to 100.2 and then the price, you know, updates a bunch of times and it's 105, you know, somebody can always sell at 105.2. So it's kind of this like persistent skew/discount mechanism. And what that does is basically it stores premium and redistributes it later. So from the debt pool's perspective, it's not net earning anything from slippage. It's just holding it and redistributing it. And I think this is like a really like useful way to look at it, because kind of like how you can, the most scalable model for the debt pool is basically something that is like, the reason we have like a skew funding rate in V1 at all is like, we want to try to match, you know, buyers and sellers. So how you can imagine the debt pool is kind of just this intermediary that holds a position and, you know, is finding somebody else to pass it on to. So that's kind of what we do, what we're shooting for with this feature. The next feature is kind of a big change to the funding rate model. It's mathematically a small change, but mechanistically it's a significant change. And it's in the SIP, but basically like instead of having like a static instantaneous funding rate that is, you know, a function of whatever the imbalance in the market is, the imbalance actually determines the, like we, I say the velocity of the skew. So the basically of the funding rate. So basically you have the funding rate drifting around. And when the skew is balanced, the funding rate stops moving. This again, like once again, we're optimizing for efficiently balancing open interest and discovering what the prevailing funding rate of a market is, let's say. So what kind of made me realize, also Matt, let me know if I'm going over time or if I'm eating and, you know, taking too much time on this,
no,
these details, but
you're good, go for it.
So what kind of makes this super clear why this is useful is like, let's say you have a perps market for something that is just always going to trade with negative, like everybody wants to be short, right? Like, let's say you have like a super like inflationary, you know, like ohm fork or something, right? Or a VIX perp or like a volatility index, not necessarily VIX. Everybody wants to be short this thing, right? And so that means that it's inherent like market equilibrium funding rate is going to be very far negative. So in the current model, let's say everybody always wants to be short, you know, if the funding rate is zero, people are going to be willing to short it and push the funding rate more negative. The debt pool is always going to be skewed short for this thing that everybody wants to be short, right? And that's not necessarily optimal, because basically then you have downside exposure on this thing that everybody wants to short, right? And the low frequency of, you know, funding payments that you get might not be exactly in over long, long, long periods of time. It might be an appropriate compensation for the risk. Maybe, maybe not. But it's in general, like it makes the market a lot less scalable, because you're taking on a lot of risk by being short this thing all the time. So what this funding rate does is if everybody is short, the funding rate moves more and more negative until somebody is like, okay, that's the right negative funding rate. I'm going to long and balance it. Now we have balanced open interest and a negative funding rate. So basically all this method you can think about it is basically some base funding rate, and we're sampling through all the different funding rates until it stops moving when somebody is like, okay, I'm willing to take the other side of this trade now. And again, the debt pool does not net earn over long periods of time or pay funding with this mechanism. Basically, when the funding rate is moving away from zero, the debt pool will earn funding, and when it moves back to zero, it will pay funding, but it's the same amount that it earned on the way out. So again, like storing funding payments and redistributing them over time, it is kind of the name of the game here. So what these two give you basically results in are these like what I'm imagining will be hyper scalable markets where you could actually, in theory, like if you imagine these aren't part of the debt pool and you just have some amount of collateral that backs these markets, the amount of open interest you could scale to would be many multiples of the amount of collateral backing it. So it's kind of this like leveraged liquidity provisioning, which I think will be really interesting to observe in practice. And then the last thing that I'll just touch on is after like many, many years of like kicking around different, you know, ways to do fees and dynamic fees and, you know, optimizations, kind of like one thing that we are looking at experimenting with now is like a hybrid Oracle architecture where you have like an off-chain decentralized Oracle network that is basically coming to consensus on prices and posting them off-chain. And then to be able to actually price your exchange, you basically just pull this data from somewhere off-chain and you submit it to confirm your order basically. And there's an on-chain contract that checks its validity and freshness and everything. And this one is kind of a little bit further outside the scope. I included it in, but I think in reality, it might end up being a separate SIP. But we just wanted to let the community know, like, this is the direction that we've been doing some research on, and we think could be pretty an interesting way to make less of a trade-off between performance and efficiency. But like, we are very optimistic about it. I'll pause there. I know that was a lot of like details, and like if there's questions on the SIP, I can take questions. Like, I mostly just merged it because I, you know, promised that I would merge it for the gov call and give an update on it. But I would say the TLDR on all of this is that my personal opinion on it is that this is going to alleviate a lot of the pain points that we have in terms of being able to list lots of different markets and being able to have low fees and being able to have high open interest caps on all of them. And like I would say, the outlook for Perp 3.2 is looking good. Do we do questions still, Matt, after each segment, or?
We can do a question or two.
No, I just don't remember. It's been a few months.
Yeah, we kind of go back and forth on if we take questions or not. We try to take like one or two, but you know, more so time permitting.
Okay.
So if there are no questions for this, which, you know, obviously it will be presented at some point where, you know, we'll have more time to go through questions, you know, we can then definitely head into the next section, unless you have anything else you'd like to cover, Afif, regarding perps.
Nope. We can head on to the next one.
All right. Perfect. I will be handing it over to you again, for the... for the state of atomic
like
swaps.
Someone called an audible on the agenda. I don't remember seeing it like this.
This is the exact agenda that is live. There is no audible being called here. This is totally not torture for Afif putting me through for the last couple months. So yeah, Afif, go for it, man. The state of atomic swaps.
All right. State of atomic swaps. Okay. So yeah. So I think this was included as an agenda item because, like, basically it's been exactly, hasn't been exactly 3 months. It hasn't been exactly 3 months, but there was kind of a lot of overlap. A lot of the action that this epic has been centered around atomic swaps. So I don't know if we have, like, a lot of regular on the call or folks who maybe might be more, like, this update may be more used for the people who weren't around, but I kind of just recapped the last 3 months of atomic swaps. Basically, you know, SIP 120 had been live for quite a while. I think we made some changes on our end, but it didn't really seem like anything started moving the needle until after the 1-inch integration. And then after 1-inch integrated the atomic swaps, we kind of started to see volume slowly trickle in, and then it really started to trickle in after that. And I would say probably for all of June, we didn't see anybody who was trading this on this contract with just synths. It was interesting. I was wondering why we weren't seeing anybody doing that. All of the flow was coming through multi-hop trades through curve pools. So a lot of them would be like stablecoin to stablecoin and then synth and then back. Like, so we saw a number of people doing that. But we also saw a fair amount of like stablecoin to synth, to other synth, out to non-synth. So like USDC to SUSD and then to SETH and then out to ETH. Anyway, we saw a lot of that flow. It seemed like mostly like relatively soft flow. And then I would say like probably around mid-July is when we started to see people actually trading the synths. And I think that the intuition was, these people are trading synths because they're trying to see if they can make an easy buck. It seemed like would have been the interpretation of that probably around mid-July. And I guess like in hindsight, probably it just took a while for people to come up, figure out the mechanism and configure their bots and see if, they could maybe some latency edge that they could take advantage of. I think at that point, that was when the Spartan Council like voted to switch from one Uniswap pool to another as an oracle, basically give you a more precise reading on the price, and then also have lower fees, but more stringent for the 5 basis point pool oracle. I think we were at like 20 or 25 basis points on the 30 basis point Uniswap pool oracle. And then we landed at like 16 or something for the 5 basis point pool oracle. I would say from that point on, like we haven't really seen a ton of flow coming from Curve. We see a little bit. And I think mostly that's coming from when one, like there's a differential in PEG between like SUSD and SETH, then we see a lot of flow that's going the other way, which is like, it's great. It's great flow because it's not informed at all. It's mostly just because of the premium from people exchanging one way that they create this reverse ARB opportunity. But yeah, I would say like a vast majority of the flow has been like this handful of users who are kind of like using the no slippage feature of just trading synths, and maybe occasionally having a small edge on latency. But yeah, anyway, I won't recap all of that, but I think the solution that the Spartan Council kind of set it on, as KSET highlighted in the Spartan Council summary, is this concept of direct integrations, where like basically you could have a set of parameters specific to like an exchange environment. So for a Curve, if you are going through one Curve pool, paying slippage and like Curve fees, and then doing a synth exchange, and then going out through another Curve pool and paying slippage and exchange fees, it probably needs a different environment than somebody who's just purely trading synths. It's the same with things like Lyra, where you're trading options and they're being collateralized by synths. But the options trade itself is incurring a lot of slippage because Lyra is its own options AMM. So that was the inspiration behind direct integrations. And I think somebody's going to give an update on that after this. Clearly, I haven't studied the agenda as well as I should have, but that and then having like a simulated liquidity type, I think it's called dynamic exchange fees in the SIP 272. Those are the two solutions that are currently viewed as like, the things that will kind of make this finally start to work no matter what the circumstances are. I think that's probably a pretty good summary. So back to you, Matt. You got another section for me after this?
No. I did not lead you into another one. No, but thank you, Fief. That was fantastic. I know many people in the community were waiting for a bit of a recap of what atomic swaps have looked like. I'm going to pass it over to DB and Mark for direct integrations and Curve integrations from a technical perspective and where they're at.
Yeah, sure. So it's gone through a couple iterations. We first initially had one implementation, like pretty much ready to go. And then we kind of had to deal with some contract size issues and other things. So we kind of simplified it a bit. And now it's under audits, under a second round of audits. So no big issues with the code, just going through the last bit of testing. And that should be the next one to go to testnet. I want to say like a tentative date for mainnet would probably be October 15th, something like that, mid-October, maybe around DevCon. That would be ideal. Because we want to get 250 out, 252 out first. That one's about to go.
Awesome. That's related to both direct integrations and curve integrations, right?
Yes, direct integration and curve integration will be in the same release. So it's 267, 268. So 267 is basically like the manager, which can allow the Spartan Council to approve different integrations, like Lyra or another protocol coming down the line. But curve will be like the first integration contract that will release with along with that 267.
All right, awesome. I was just dropping the SIFs in the GovCall chat, so if anyone wants to take a little bit more of a deeper dive into those, and then Synthetics will be releasing more material on it as things get a little bit closer. So yeah, nothing else to add on that, Mark? Good there?
Yeah, just getting ready to turn the money printer back on.
All right, perfect. So I'm going to hand it back over to you, Mark, again, related to escrow liquidations, where we're at, expected release date, so on and so forth. I know I've put out some warnings to the community.
Yeah.
Related to escrow liquidations, but we've been in a little bit of a waiting period as of right now.
Yeah. So we've been doing a lot of testing. I think I made like kind of the decision to push it back a couple more weeks. So I think the deploy for mainnet will be like October 4th. And just because we wanted to be like extra sure and cautious, because we didn't want to repeat another 148 fiasco. All right, so we're taking our time, which is good because we got Caleb, the master tester, on it. And he's already found like a couple little non-critical issues. So that's good. We're gonna do one more round of audits on the little fixes. That one's been on testnet. So we've just been like testing on mainnet forks as well as Gurley. And so that'll be the next one to go out October 4th that we're shooting for.
All right, awesome. So yeah, anyone, if you're in that liquidation area, and you have some SNX and escrow, and
no more freeloaders.
Yeah, no more freeloaders. He says it a lot better than me. Comes in a little bit more forceful. So yeah. But there's been a bunch of warnings for folks in those in that sort of situation. So, if you're in that situation and you're in this call, make sure to clean things up. That's the only thing from my side. Thank you, Mark, for escrow liquidations. Thank you to Caleb for the intensive testing on that side of things. What we're going to do is we're going to head into Synthetics V3, which we're all, very excited to hear a status update on, and to hopefully see it come to fruition soon. So I'm going to pass it over to, a bit of Noah on the technical side, and then, Afif and DB as well. So I'll have Noah kind of chat through where we're at with Synthetics V3, and then, Afif and DB can hop in as needed.
Thanks. My mic's good. Yep, great.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so we've made some huge progress on V3 lately, and we're on track to have a system that we could migrate over to on testnet by October. So not that the actual migration will happen in October, but we'll be feature complete for a migration by then. Under the current proposal for the migration, which still needs to get through governance, we're going to allow users to voluntarily migrate their staking position from V2 to V3 initially. And the V3 system will back all of the Synth Markets assets on the V2 system. So all of our external integrators won't get rugged or anything like that. And then from there, we can start rolling out new markets, new assets, and other features on the V3 system. So zooming out a little, I've been asked, like, you know, what's exciting about V3? Why are we doing this? And just wanted to say that, you know, a big aspect of this is removing technical debt. But I think the real edge we're going to get here is just more composability and being able to iterate much faster. So just like all of the things we've been discussing on the call with V2X, we're just going to be able to experiment with new fee structures, new price feed ingestion, new market implementations, all of that. Just an order of magnitude faster speed. And ultimately, once we're confident it doesn't pose any risks to the protocol, we're going to we're planning to allow the permissionless creation of markets and liquidity pools effectively, so that anyone can use synthetics to roll out their own derivatives and also set up their own liquidity pools to provide liquidity to back those assets in those markets. We have a public synthetics V3 channel in the Discord, and we want as much feedback from the community on it, especially as we get things on testnet and prepare for migration. I think that's sort of a good high level summary. A fee for DB, if you have anything else to chime in with, feel free.
No, nothing on my end. I'm mostly just on this one if there's any questions that you guys can answer.
I know that there was just a question in the Synthetics V3 channel. Dogger did I just hear correctly that V3 testnet is October, but probably won't launch for a few months after?
That's what we're tracking for currently, yeah.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure that one gets answered. And then I know Noah did a pretty good presentation related to the Synthetics V3 update. I'm actually going to drop that in the chat so you guys can read through it. Obviously, things will become more polished as time goes on. So here's that little presentation that Noah did. You guys can definitely run through that. It's a great kind of explainer of like where we're at with Synthetics V2. How it relates to Synthetics V3, and then what Synthetics V3 will look like in terms of structure, and so on and so forth. And then there's also all the SIPs that start with 300 and onwards. Definitely good reading to do on Synthetics V3 as well. There's some good Twitter threads too on that from the official Synthetics account. That's all that on Synthetics V3. I'm going to pass it over to Mark to talk a bit about the debt migration.
All right, cool. Yeah, so 237. This is implementation is like basically in progress. Auditors have taken like a pre-look at it and have given some feedback. So once 267, Dirk integration, the kind of pressing things, 252 get out of the way. That one's going to probably be one of the last SIPs of V2X, which basically enables, one-click button, voluntarily move your account from, L1 to L2, and you won't have to burn any debt, unstake anything. It'll literally just transfer all of your state from one chain to the next, from Ethereum to Optimism. So that one, we're looking to get that one probably end of October, maybe November. It's going to be around the same time that we do the V2X to V3 migration. So those dates are kind of shifting to, based on priority and implementation and audit. So, but we're shooting, I think, towards, end of October, early November for that one.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. I will drop the SIP in the channel, but Mark, has this SIP been updated recently? Because I know Kane prepped this one some time back.
Yeah, I don't think Kane's gotten to it.
All right. So that's just pending updates on the actual SIP itself. But what you've said is more of the updated information on debt migration. Okay, cool. So Kane will update that, and I was waiting for you guys to potentially a million of you to tag Kane, but that didn't happen. So don't worry about that. We will now head over to staking V2. Cab was going to come in and chat a little bit through this, but it's probably way too early in Australia for Cab to be on. So I'll kind of chat through some of the some of the high level goals for the the new staking UI. First off, a lot of UX improvements. Lots of UX improvements to improve the clarity and experience of staking. I think we've seen, tons of questions on the staking UI. There's, definitely issues with even just the use of the term staking when as it relates to synthetics, which is something that the folks from V3 are talking through as well, and community members have talked through. When it comes to just updating this new UI, making it much easier for users to be able to onboard into this and understand the different steps of staking in its current structure with V2, and then obviously that'll change drastically with V3. But there's definitely a lot when it comes to like hedging that's pretty complicated as relates to the debt pool, and then there's a good amount of complexities with if you don't claim here, then all this is lost and distributed to the rest of the stakers for the following week. There's a lot that is being built out with staking V2. I will here actually let me grab this picture and I will just drop it in our GovCall chat so you guys can kind of take a look. This is one of the directions that the design side was going with. This is obviously going to make things a lot easier for stakers. It kind of follows this 1-2-3 in terms of what a staker has to do. So people aren't left to come on Discord or run through docs. The UI should be much cleaner and much easy to understand. Tying in hedging, tying in some of this the automated tools that have been worked through with Gelato and things along those lines. That's kind of like this high-level overview of staking V2 and more information to follow. Cav will definitely fill in some of the gaps there as well as time goes on. I'm gonna pass it over to the folks from Gauntlet to provide their risk update for the Epic. So thank you guys from Gauntlet.
Thanks, Matt. Paul here from Gauntlet. So some of you may have seen we provided our monthly set of parameter recommendations in the Spawn Council chat. We recommend no parameter change. We have on Nick and Watson to present from the Gauntlet side. Matt, can we give speaker permissions to Watson? He is WFW Foo for his Discord handle.
Let me grab him. Let's pull him up here. Awesome. He should have gotten an invite to speak, so he should be able to speak now.
Great, thanks. I'll hand it off to Nick and Watson here.
Yeah, thanks. So for anyone unfamiliar with Gauntlet, we leverage agent-based simulation to analyze market risk affecting protocols and recommend parameters that minimize insolvencies and liquidations while maximizing capital efficiency. So our simulation of synthetics analyzes the impact of the global debt pool and SNX stakers' positions as market volatility increases. And our biggest focus during the last month of improving our synthetic sim was building out the backtesting infrastructure so we can better measure our sim performance and improve it. And as Paul mentioned, we released our fourth set of parameter recommendations for synthetics today, in which we recommend no change. In particular, our analysis shows that the current min-C ratio of 350% should be kept as is for the time being. I believe Paul shared has a couple figures to share. Yes, so in the figure that Paul just shared, we have a heat map visualization of the insolvent value and SNX liquidated for different values of the min-C ratio parameter across different levels of market volatility, according to our simulation. And as you can see from the heat map on the left, there is much higher insolvency risk if we were to drop the min-C ratio below its current value of 350%. And as you can see from the heat map on the right, liquidation risk is stable when the C ratio is 350% or higher. One of the key outputs of our sim that we look to when providing recommendations is the value at risk, or VAR, which is the 95th percentile of insolvencies across sim runs. And our sim runs showed a VAR of 1.6 million if we keep the C ratio maintained at 350%, which is comparable to the current on-chain insolvency of 1.3 million. But our simulations show that a 300% C ratio would result in a much larger VAR of $10 million, which is why we believe it's extremely risky to lower the C ratio any further from where it is now. For this set of parameter recommendations, we also took into account the impact various choices of min-C ratio would have on users of the protocol who hope to claim staking rewards. And we're doing this in response to community feedback that we received from previous parameter recommendations, and considering it in conjunction with measuring the mint usage that comes out of our sims. And this is shown in the second figure that Paul just shared. So the top two charts are for ETH mainnet. The bottom two were for Optimism. The left charts show the total amount of SUSD that the top 100 stakers would have to burn in order to claim rewards for various C ratios. And the right charts show the total amount of additional SUSD liquidity that could be minted among the top 100 stakers if they use their staked SNX to mint as much SUSD as they could, given various C ratios. Particularly noticeable among these charts was the non-linear relationship between C ratio and SUSD burn amount for Optimism, shown in the bottom left of these charts. It indicates that the top 100 Optimism users would have to buy back and burn five times the amount of SUSD, or $6 million worth, if the C ratio is increased from 350 to 400%, which is a considerable burden to stakers for claiming rewards. So since it is our goal to provide recommendations that minimize risk while simultaneously maximizing staker benefits, based on these findings, we recommend against an increase of the min-C ratio at this time. And that's all for me.
Tara, did you say you had a question, Tara?
It doesn't relate to this particular presentation that's just been done. I was just saying that I posted one to you specifically earlier today. So feel free to edit this out, Matt.
No problem at all. I'm pretty sure Tara left a message in the Spartan Council channel, so you guys can definitely get to that when you get a chance. But is that okay, everything?
Yeah, we'll come back to you, Tara, on that.
All right, fantastic. Is that everything from the Gauntlet side, or you guys have anything else to cover in the analysis?
Yeah, happy to address or answer any questions.
All right, fantastic. We'll open it up to one or two questions, and then we'll continue onwards. So anyone has anything, jump right in. Give you guys like 30 seconds to formulate something. And then if not, we'll head onwards into the DAO and ecosystem updates.
I just had a question for the CCs in general about whether they could inform the community about any particular changes that were brought about as a result of the transition to proof of stake on Ethereum in the general running of the protocol, as it's quite a major change that has occurred in the last few weeks.
There is one regarding atomic swaps. I don't know if you saw, there was a recent blog post from Uniswap where they described some of the effects of using their services, such as their TWAP Oracle, which is one of the features we use for atomic swaps. And upon reading that report, we decided that we had to lower the maximum volume per block, the maximum atomic swap volume per block as a safety precaution, because one of the changes for proof of stake could lead to, in a sophisticated enough attack, like an attacker could theoretically gain control of up to 6 minutes of blocks at a time, if enough MEV activity were to occur, which could put the protocol at risk when it comes to you know, TWAP values and using that as part of our calculations for atomic swaps. So yeah, there have been some very minor changes, but for the most part, I mean, most on-chain protocols haven't needed to make any changes. And that's pretty much the case for synthetics as well. It's mostly a consensus change as opposed to a execution layer consideration.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Fantastic. So looks like we don't have any questions for Gauntlet. So thank you guys for coming here. We all appreciate the continued analysis of the protocol from a risk perspective. Yeah, and thank you, Tara, DB, for that, the question and answer as well. So yeah, now we're going to head into the DAO and ecosystem partner updates. So I'm going to hand it over to Jordan from the Treasury Council to provide the Treasury Council's update.
Thanks, Matt. So yeah, the update from the TC is we have used some additional SNX for market making through our partners. So there has been a renewal of a SEX and DEX focused liquidity provider or market maker. So now we actually have a centralized exchange specific focused partner. We have a market maker that's specifically focused on the DEX market and almost entirely focused on OP, which is obviously an area of liquidity that's been getting better and better. And then now we have a market maker that's also blended. So as part of the agreement, we have essentially asked them to come over and integrate into OP and help us provide more liquidity there as well. Some people have asked why, you know, we need market makers, or, you know, beyond sort of the obvious what function they serve. And just to kind of reiterate for those who don't really see the value or understand exactly what they do, you know, market makers are important, especially during times of volatility. They can sort of dampen the moves up and down, which is important. You don't really want the token flying around all over the place from day to day or week to week. So they do serve an important role there. And obviously on Optimism, it's important that we have some liquidity there, and finding market makers that are actually operating in that environment is not super easy. There's more and more coming over, but yeah, there's kind of a bit of a slow burn there in terms of who's available to work with us, but we've got a really good partner there as well. And so, you know, liquidity on centralized exchanges is still important, even though we're a very on-chain protocol and projects. You know, it's not like we can just forget about Binance or Coinbase and just focus on Uniswap. It's not really the way it works for a tier one project. You know, most of the volume is still going to be on centralized exchanges. You know, 98% of the institutional volume, for example, is going to be there. And we definitely want to serve that market because, you know, that is a, you know, a segment that is a substantial amount of buying pressure, we hope. So that's kind of the background there. We've done a lot of work over the last few months to get all the partners in place. And I think we're in a good place now, which is good. So somewhat related to that, we've been chatting to Binance and Coinbase about Optimism, native Optimism deposits and withdrawals. So at this stage, neither of them have fixed it on, but we're confident that will come online soonish. It's always hard with exchanges; they don't give you direct timelines, but that's looking good on both fronts, which is obviously great for OP liquidity as well and ease of use. The next set of updates is specifically thanks to Artichoke. He's been doing a really good job with sort of the on-chain setting up and management of our positions. So we've got Curve integrated now with 1inch on OE. So that should be interesting to see how volume increases and how, like, what ultimately this split is between L1 and L2. We've increased the bribes on the SETH WETH and the SUSD USDC pools in Velo to boost the TVL there as well and to match the Curve offer and see, you know, not organically, I guess, but at least on par who receives more flow. We've improved some of the internal processes for executing transactions through batching tools, which helps with just some of the operational stuff as well. So Artichoke has been helpful in sort of making sure our ops are a little smoother. And then in general, we're actually talking to a number of counterparties about OTC opportunities. So we've had some inbound interest over the last couple of months. Nothing has really qualified, in our view, to do an OTC deal. You know, there are different flavors and ways of doing OTC, but to date, we haven't really sort of found an opportunity that makes sense. There's a number of variables that we look at, you know, size, partner, you know, who the counterparty is and what value they could add. And then obviously what they would be willing to accept for things like lockups and things like that. The Treasury Council has a mandate not to sell on market. And so as we have been accumulating SNX over the, you know, pick your period, last 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, we do need to find ways of diversifying the treasury without impacting the price. And so OTC is an important, I guess, tool for us. And so always interested in exploring what that might look like. And overall, we've sort of continued to have quite a defensive strategy regarding the funds themselves. So we're not in a lot of pools, yield farming, and in general, we're pretty defensive. So I think that's pretty much it from our side.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much, Jordan. It's always great to have the Treasury Council here providing updates. I think this is the second update for the Treasury Council. Had you guys on for the first time in the last call. So thank you so much, Jordan. I know many people in the community love those updates and anticipate them. I'm gonna hand it over to CT in the Grants Council, which is known for being very succinct with his updates. So yeah, man, go for it. I can't hear you if you're talking, CT. I don't know if you have your mic in or if you're muted or anything like that. Let's ping him so he knows as well.
All right. Hey, Matt, it's Mojo. Do you want me to go ahead and jump on if CT can't get on?
Yeah. Let's have the Ambassador Councils just hop in just so we can flow through this a little bit quicker. Mojo, Millie, if he wants to hop in, I'll have you guys, you know, chat from the Ambassador Council's perspective, and then we'll have Grants hop in shortly afterwards.
All right, perfect. All right, guys, I guess if you're not familiar with the Ambassadors, we have a mandate that outlines our duties and activities. So if you're new to the protocol, make sure you check out SIP 241. So a big part this epoch, we do our Spartan Spaces, and we managed to do 10 Spartan Spaces, and we did them with 1inch Quinta pulled together, Lyra, Open Ocean, Thales, Socket, Bungie, Granary, and we're doing D-Hedge tomorrow night. And some early alpha there is we're working on a YouTube channel where we can post all past Spartan spaces. So make sure you guys look for that, because that will be coming here soon. All right, so a big function of the ambassadors is governance. So this epoch, we managed to pass multiple proposals. Just give you guys a quick summary. We was able to deploy a Uniswap 1-bit fee tier on Optimism. We worked with fast bridging support for SNX and SUSD on the Hop protocol. We managed to be active with the Gearbox governance, where we worked on multiple proposals there. And then with Aave, we was able to increase the SUSD supply cap on Optimism. Since our last epoch, we worked on increasing our voting power, and we managed to get 20,000 tokens for Uniswap delegated to us. Gearbox, we increased by 12 million tokens, and with our new multi-sig Optimism wallet, we managed to get 157,000 OP tokens delegated to us. So if you guys have any OP lying around, make sure you delegate it to our new wallet, opsnxambassadors.eth. So a big part of the governance now for the ambassadors is the Optimism governance. We are actively working with many new DeFi protocols with their Optimism proposals. So this has taken a big part of our time. And as you guys can tell, I mean, there's this, they're coming to Optimism, and it's nice. So we're jumping on board there to talk to all these new protocols. So with the new protocols coming to Optimism, we're also in talks with some protocols, some new ones coming. I think a lot of people will enjoy is Alchemix, SushiSwap, Yearn. We got Bankless Academy coming, Beefy, a few other ones there. Just to give you guys some alpha, we're also in talks with Yearn and Beefy, and we're trying to investigate some Optimism strategies involving the synthetics loans. Let's see, I'm just looking at my notes here. I want to go over the layer swap integration. I think this is great for all new users or users. It allows you to purchase the SNX token with your bank account, and you get the token instantly on Optimism. And I think they use your Coinbase or Binance account with this. And if you guys haven't tried it yet, it's much cheaper to use layer swap than it is to try to do it yourself. What else we got? We implemented a no supply cap for SUSD on Granary on Optimism. And then a cool new update is the ambassadors are working on a Notion page where we're trying to be fully transparent so the community could come in and see our progress of what projects we're integrating with. You can look at our weekly sync notes. Should be pretty useful, so I'm excited for that one. We also have a new ambassadors website we're about 70% complete with, so we're excited to share that when that comes out. So this coming epoch, I think we got four things we're going to work on. We're going to pursue some further growth strategies in former BizDeads relations. We're going to explore opportunities to scale synth supplies, and we're going to increase presence in our Optimism governance even more. With the addition of the two new ambassadors, I think there's a lot we can get done that will help benefit synthetics. And we're going to work on our expansion of influence in DeFi. So Matt, that was all my notes there. So if I missed anything, I think you're the person who could come in and tidy some things up.
No, that was fantastic, Mojo. Thank you very much. So you know, just to finalize all that, the ambassadors went from three council members to five. The Spartan Council recognized the large amount of work that the ambassadors have gotten done, and are excited to continue to support them in the growth of the ambassadors and business development overall at Synthetics, if they handle a lot of the inbound partnerships. Millie.
That was really great, Mojo. Thanks for all the updates. I mean, I'm sure you guys noticed, like, there were a lot of different protocols that want to integrate with Synthetics. And I think one thing that I could just fill in the community on is how much demand there is to build on top of Synthetics. So, like, there's honestly so much demand that we have to, like, sort of even turn down some options just because there's not enough synth supply to meet all the integrations and all the integration partners that want to work with us. So if you have ever hopped into our dedicated Discord, you would notice like a lot of different projects and the developers from these projects just hopping in and joining us and having like more focused conversations on about these topics. So there's like a whole.
I think Millie might have rugged himself right there. Yeah. He did rug himself.
Usually it's you rugging yourself, Matt.
Yeah, I'm usually pretty good at rugging the ambassador calls on Twitter. But yeah, just to kind of sum up what Millie was saying, there's definitely a ton of volume on the partnership side. A lot of tracking that's going into that. And then there's a lot of coordination with the Treasury to some degree, CCs. So on and so forth. So having five people there to kind of help out on that side is going to be really nice, especially with this expansion into more biz dev, more governance lobbying, so on and so forth. I think that's all the updates from the ambassador side. I will hand it over to CT, and hopefully his mic is now working. I don't think it is. Oh, yep. We can hear you now, CT.
Okay, cool. So I switch over to my PC. Evening, everyone. I'm going to give you guys an update on the Grants Council and try not to be too long, as usual. It's going to be a little bit different from the previous updates where all we did was read through a list of 30 or 40 things that we did. Tonight, I want to give you guys a little bit of a different insight into the Grants Council. So there's four items that I just want to chat about. One is the Grants Council duties. Two is a financial summary update. Three is just about a little bit about community developers. And four is just about upcoming deliverables of upcoming projects. The first thing, and I think I've seen now conversations happening in the Treasury Council also, with new people joining, and I've seen this before, where people are concerned about new people and not sure about their skill sets. And the one thing that we never addressed at all from the start of the new DAO and the different councils was, what kind of skill sets do people need to have to actually properly function on these different councils? So I just wanted to give some insight into the Grants Council duties. And I think in the future, it'll be great for the other councils also to identify skill sets and to share that with the community so that we don't get someone that's got either zero skill sets applying for a role and then, rugging the whole epoch, going forward. So things that we do, things that we require people to do in the Grants Council is people need to at least have some kind of communication skills. They need to be able to communicate properly with their fellow members. They need to be able to communicate with grant applicants, have discussions with them on Discord and in calls. They need to be able to have proper communications with other protocol members, technical people, and business peoples. On multiple levels. So you need to be able to communicate properly, understand things, and communicate that to different levels of people. The biggest thing is you need a lot of time. And I think this is what a lot of people don't realize, actually, how much time is required to be on these councils. We need to meet. So we've got a formal meeting once a week, which is about between an hour and 2 hours long sometimes. But beyond that, we do ad hoc meetings also to discuss specific things that's urgent. We've got so internal and external meetings with grant applications, with developers, with designers, with any external people that we sometimes need to organize things with. There's admin work that we have to do. We need to update our financial spreadsheet, which I'm going to share now. We need to load payments, review grant applications. We need to discuss these applications or internal initiatives. Someone comes up with ideas or ideas picked up in Discord. That needs to all to be discussed, and that all of this takes time. We need to engage with the community, manage our resources on projects. So we need to check in on, with developers, with designers, whoever we've got working on projects. You know, we need time to actually spend with them and make sure we get what we need. And also to engage with other CCs, that helps us a lot. You need some management skills. You know, you need to be able to plan out projects and deliverables, organize initiatives and resources, lead grants and initiatives. We require, you know, internal process that anyone comes in, we give them some time to adjust. But everyone needs to at some point be a lead on a grant or a project or an initiative and lead it from end to end with all the others supporting them. We need to manage different types of resources, deliver according to what's agreed. And then finally, you know, you do need requirement on how synthetics work, how the community interacts with synthetics, what is the need and the interaction type of things with synthetics to be able to build projects or approve projects, people that apply for things. Also, the greater DeFi space around it. And also, most of all, you need people that can say no. Sometimes, you know, all of us are excited about something, but you sometimes need that one person to say no, to just bring the heat down in the room with excitement and to rationally think about things and bring different perspective and opinions to the room. Also, to realize that the funds that we're working with is not our funds. It's a community funds, the protocol fund. So our responsibility with that is quite big. It's quite important for us to make sure that we do say no. And sometimes we say no for things that could be quite nice, but we feel that we either won't get the return on investment that we require. And like Jordan also mentioned, they're a little bit in defensive mode on their funds. And we are also have been a little bit defensive with our funds. So moving on to the next point, which is the summary on our finances. I'm just going to share a quick image. I'm going to just drop it in the GovCall chat channel for you guys so that everyone can see what's happening. So we have, everyone think we've got millions of dollars, but we don't. Our current value, and this is mostly because of the price of synthetics has dropped over the last 6 months, is about $440,000 that we have in total value. On layer one, we've got about $370,000 of that. And we, a while ago, once the price of synthetics started dropping, we didn't want to pay in synthetics itself because we felt it's a waste for us to be giving away synthetics at a low price where in a year's time, we believe that the price will be exceptionally higher. So what we did is we taked synthetics in Aave and we borrowed USDC against it and we bridged that over to OP and we do something else with that there, which I'll talk about now. But in the last epoch, we've earned over 7,000 SNX just by staking it on Aave. So it is a pretty basic investment or way to manage our money, but we feel it was the right way and is the right way to do that. On OP, so we brought over USDC and we put that in the curve pool at the bottom. Then what we do is, as we need stable, so most of the projects that we paid out, the larger projects, we pay in SUSD and not in synthetics. So I would say more of the development projects we pay, I would say 90% or 95% of our stuff we pay in SUSD. It's more the smaller tips and smaller payments that we do in SNX, which people still, I think, value more. And so on OP, we've got just under 70,000 in value, a little bit of SUSD in our wallet, SNX and OP. The OP was requested for a project we're doing with Quenta, which most of that, or not most of that, but a part of that will go to initiative there. And we've got another initiative around trading and stuff. That's a very close protocol, which we will also help fund. So we've also earned about $2,000 plus minus worth in CRV over this period, and we just sell that for our stables. We don't keep that. So that's the financial side of things. And just to reiterate again that we've said no to some projects where in the past we would have said yes, just because we feel financially right now it's not the right thing to do. So we do take managing this these funds quite serious, but we might also be knocking on the Treasury Council's door for a little bit more SNX that we can put in our way, and just to chat to them to make sure we're doing it strategically correctly. If there's any advice they will give us to do differently, but we wanted something that's not too involved but enough to earn something on and protect the treasury itself. The next one, I'm going to move on to our community developers. So our main goal for this past epoch, besides building stuff and delivering things, was actually to build up a pool of developers from the community that we can consistently go back to and say, please, work with us or not, please, but we've got some work for you. And we achieved that goal. So we've got four developers at the moment that we can, with different levels of skills and skill sets, TradeSok, Juneway, Fairly, Red Pepe, and Sep. We are the guys that we've pulled in, and we can get them in to do work for us as new things come along. So that was something that we really battled with for quite a long time. But I think we've now got to a point where we've actually got a couple of guys around that we can give work to. I would love to see this grow a little bit more and get some other resources also going slowly but surely. It is a finicky situation because people do this part-time. They've got their own jobs and their own life. So we have to work sometimes on timelines around their availability as well. So that's just a quick update on that. And one of our main objectives that was a stumbling block for us in the past that we actually have overcome to date. The last one is going to be a little bit longer, but I just want to talk about upcoming projects. I've just got another quick image here for you guys. And those are the Eurostats page, the loans UI, and then, error at the end. That's actually our NFT project right at the end. It's not our loans UI. Sorry about that. I don't know if you guys remember, but I think we were in September, October last year when the larger community outside freaked out about our broken stats page. And I've been personally trying to get us to build a Eurostats page since that day. And tonight I'm going to share with you guys the link. I think some internal people have seen this already. We just have to still deploy this. Joey has been an amazing CC resource, as well as Jade in this. We cannot believe the effort, not the effort, but the complexity of getting data and reliable data in place. And that's been the main delay, is actually reliable data. So we worked with Trades OK, which is an amazing developer who's helped us put this together. And he's now put the last updates on the TDL for us. But we're going to keep maintaining this, keep improving this, keep enhancing this, into the future. And it is a work in progress. I just want to, manage everyone's expectations. There are going to be differences that you're going to see here and on other places. But we believe we are as close as damn it that we can get on these stats. The one thing that is oddity is atomic swap. So if there are any atomic swaps that's linked to a specific exchange, it gets an exchange identifier and we can pick up that transaction, which is then included. When someone uses a contract directly and do atomic swap of a contract directly without any exchanges involved, we cannot pick that up at the moment. So that's something that we'll try and look at going into the future and see how we can do things like that. Caleb has also helped us a hell of a lot with a lot of these things. I want to say thanks to him also in the things that he's helped us with. The next step is Joey will help us deploy this, get this out properly. And as the community, work through this and look for this, if you guys have questions, I think we'll try and get a specific place where we can, answer and ask questions. Because there are nuances, but I think we need to get this out now, and it's time. The next one is the loan UI. It should be coming towards the end of October. The developer, Junwei, started working on it for us, and he's just going on a leave. But when he comes back, he's going to finish it up for us. He's already done a lot of work. So we expect that to be up and running by end of October. The last one is the NFT project, and I'm going to share some stuff with you guys and then hand over to Doug to give you some more spicy insights on the more technical side of things. So the first thing is most of you will know that we've got these tribes, all these different tribes that we've included, which is Synthetics, Quenta, Lyra, Thales, DH, and then we've got the undead masses. We've got some trolls in there for all these Discord and Twitter trolls that bashes us and things like that. And we're now getting to a technical part where we actually have to identify all the traits and elements that's going to be minted on it. JVK, we've pulled him in, and he's a new kid on the block, but he's really stepped up and he's working closely with the developer to help us get some of the technical side of things. And here's just a couple of concept art on how items gets assigned to things. And then also here is just a GIF that just shows it visually on how items are going to be allocated. I'm not going to share too many images on all the different tribes and stuff because there's a shitload. There's so much, and it is so amazing. But hopefully we can start leaking a lot more about that. So visuals are almost, I think, they are now just doing touch-ups. We're also sneaking in a couple of special items here and there. And that process is now coming to a close. The next step is now to get the minting contract up, and Doug will speak about the process after that. So we're going to have a minting site and the minting contract, and then once that is done and we go through the minting process, we've got a vision beyond that. That is not just, so what we don't want to do is just mint a bunch of NFTs and then Bob's your uncle, go trade them. Yeah, we want that, but we've got some more vision around that. So can we ask that Doug just be pulled up to the stage? And
I'm here.
off, and I'm going to stay on. If there's any questions after Doc is finished, I'll just help answer that. So that's me for tonight. Thank you, Matt.
All right, so I'll try to be quick. The NFT project is going to raise some money. It's going to raise some money, and the raise proceeds are, let's call them the Synthverse Treasury. And they will basically be initially managed by the Grants Council. And the goal of this treasury is going to provide liquidity wherever beneficial to the synthetics protocol. Either that be Curve, Velodrome, or maybe even Lyra pools, God knows. We'll see. We'll likely consult probably with the Treasury Council as well to find the optimal strategy on what to do with these proceeds. In any way, in any case, yield farming is just not going to be, you know, the entire purpose of this project. There's going to be some secondary sale royalties that will be split equally between the Synthverse Treasury and the Grants Council Treasury, which hints that some of the proceeds from this project are going to be used for public goods funding. It will be basically directly funding the Grants Council budget as well. Holders of the NFTs will also have an alternative way to, I don't know, selling their NFT. In addition to just selling their NFT on the secondary market, that will probably be Quicks, they will be also able to burn their NFT to redeem their fair share value of the Synthverse Treasury, minus some burn fee that will again be split equally between the Synthverse Treasury and the Grants Council budget. So there'll be some game theory. Burning mechanism will likely not be available right away from the start. We don't want to incentivize that from the beginning. But it does basically guarantee a floor price to those NFTs going forward in the future. There will be game theory. Yield farming will likely mean that the underlying value of those NFTs will start increase over time. And as well, secondary sale royalties will funnel back into the treasury as well. Again, in a loop, increasing the floor of those NFTs. So it's going to be quite exciting to see where that game theory drives those NFTs price-wise as well. But I think the gist of it is, it's not just another PFP project. There is some public goods funding behind it. There is yield farming, that, you know, liquidity provisioning within the synthetics ecosystem that hopefully will be beneficial to us. You know, will be to a small degree a moneymaker as well. And yeah, that's about it. Quite exciting to see where this goes. Handing over the word to somebody else.
All right. Thank you, CyberDuck. Thank you, CT. And thank you to the Grants Council. You guys always have a very well put together presentation. So thank you guys for that. It's greatly appreciated. We're going to hop into some of the ecosystem partner updates now. So I'll have Andrew from Quenta chat a little bit about what's going on over at Quenta.
Thanks, Matt. So right now, cross margin, limit orders, stop losses are all out of audit. They're finished. So they're coming within the next 2 weeks. So that's pretty exciting stuff. We're working on a full refactor of Quenta in the background, so it'll make it a lot faster and smoother. We've just launched a KIP, or an R&D for a draft of a KIP that'll basically be copy trading in the future. And this kind of shows a little bit of the direction of where Quenta's heading. With cross-margin, we start to have our own like margin as a service component, and this will enable us to expand aggressively in the future for what Quenta can do. So this is actually a really big step forward for us for a platform for where we can develop. As usual, always pushing super hard on decentralization with Quenta. So our front end now is quenta.eth.limo. And the actual code that is pointed to for this domain is run by currently the admin DAO, but very soon it'll be facilitated by the council. So that means it'll have, you know, token voted ownership of the code, which means that the DAO protocol is essentially almost fully decentralized at this point. So that's a big step forward as well there. And we're also working on like mirroring the repo, having automated voting, a couple other things that'll even be facilitated by V3GM. So some big pushes for decentralization coming soon there as well. Next for us is launching the token. So I mean, November's obviously where the token's being dropped. We're just figuring out basically one last piece of the puzzle, which is KIP34. We've basically added a additional step, which would be buying into the token versus just giving it freely out. The main idea being to increase conviction. So you can read about the KIP in the repo. And Bert, if you want to quickly go over some incentives we have going on right now, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to. So first, before I go over some incentives, I would like to say that definitely one of our main focuses at Quenta is making sure that our partnership with Synthetics is fruitful. So I would love to direct everybody's attention to something that's been floating around. If you missed it the first time, I'm posting this in the GovCall chat. This is the profitability of the futures profit or the futures protocol. Just wanted to show this off because I'm just really happy to see that the relationship between Quenta and Synthetics is kind of this mutually beneficial thing. You know, that's what we're here to do is we want people coming to the front end. As you know from Andrew's updates, we're going to have ways where Quenta itself as a protocol can be a little more independent and make money from our own products. But this relationship is a very important part of why Quenta exists. So great to see. And so from my end, one thing that I recently got passed through Quenta Governance is our very first incentive program that's meant to incentivize trading on the Quenta platform and therefore through the Synthetics futures contracts. So this one will be leveraging our OP that we got from the Optimism grant. And it's structured in a way that that allows people to come in and make very simple steps, starting with small trades and then slowly ramping them up to get them used to the trading experience and rewarding them with OP along the way. So if you have any questions about that, we'd love for you to join the Quenta Discord, come in, ask questions about it, give feedback on it, because this will actually not be the only incentive program that we hopefully have coming up. There's been one in draft for a little while, but it'll be reworked a little bit. So after the Quenta token launch, we're going to be incentivizing trading as well. And then we'll also have a trading competition coming up around the same time as the token launch. So the really cool thing about this trading competition is that for the second round of the trading competition, the top 1,000 wallets that trade on Quenta will be eligible for Quenta token prizes. So this is pretty huge. It's a great way to get the token out there and make sure that traders who are coming in and participating are A, incentivized to do volume and try to get the best P&L possible, and B, making sure that, you know, people who are here supporting the project and participating in any way can actually take some ownership of Quenta. So yeah, would love for you guys to come and hang out in the Quenta Discord and talk more about this, but I think that kind of covers it from us, unless Andrew has anything else to add.
Well, that was great. Thanks, mate.
All right, awesome. Is that everything from the Quenta side?
That sure is everything. Thank you.
All right, fantastic. If you guys have any other, if you guys have any questions from the community or anyone here, you guys can definitely go head over to the Quenta Discord to ask for any clarifying questions as well. So I'm going to hand this over to D-Monkey from Thales to provide the Thales update. I can't hear you, by the way, D-Monkey. All right, awesome. In the interim, KSET from Wyra had to drop off. So I've got some of the Wyra updates just to go through quickly. For anyone that doesn't know, Wyra is a decentralized options trading protocol offering option markets on ETH and BTC on Optimism. They're currently evaluating what markets to launch next and working on the capital efficiency of the AMM for the liquidity providers in these markets. They've recently seen a huge uptick in daily active users due to the trading competitions launched and Optimism Quest. And the market maker vaults have been consistently showing profitability, which is what the Lyra folks want to see. MMVs are also incentivized with Lyra and Optimism, which would be the market makers for these individual markets. Staking your Lyra can boost your incentives up to 2x. And Lyra is also running a Trade the Merge competition, which goes through October 7th, as well as a hot bridging contest, if you guys want to check that out. Since the Avalon release for Lyra, which was done at the end of June, Lyra has processed close to 120 million in notional trading volume and is collecting nearly 110,000 in fees per month, which 100% of that is going to LPs. Talking a little bit about their trading rebates, they have a simplified tiered program where users can get up to 60% rebates in the bid-ask spread for stakers and short collateral rewards. So that's a kind of a summary of what KSET has provided for me. I would definitely recommend heading over to the Lyra Discord for any further updates, and I know KSET would be more than happy to walk through anything else. So I'm going to hand it over to D-Monkey from Thales.
Yes, and, can you hear me out?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you, Matt. This feels like coming after a podcast as. No, nice voice, Matt. Cool. All right. But, we got a lot of updates from the Thales side. You know, like last call was 3 months ago, and 3 months is like 1 year for Thales team. So I'm just pasting a brief of what we have done, and I will go quickly over with you over the main things. Right, so regarding Thales markets, the first thing is that the Thales expanded into Arbitrum as the third chain. The Thales governance body, the Thales Council, voted to deploy only the platform on Arbitrum. And I want to make a highlight here to just the deepest incentivized liquidity of the Thales token and the Thales native staking is still exclusive to Optimism. So that's important just for us to so you guys are clear on that. Thales has made almost 8 million volume, not nominal. Nominal is almost like twice that. And $500,000 in volume in Polygon. That's the second chain we deployed, and now the third is Arbitrum, where we have like 60k of volume in just a few days. We got a new library with video tutorials, like it's easier to share among people. So we have all video tutorials about all Thales products in one place. You can find it in the brief I just pasted. We added new assets on Optimism. We have DYDX, BNB, and Lux. And on Arbitrum, we added Dopex and Magic. Currently, we're on the round 5 of for Optimism tips with around $1 million in volume per 2 week period, or epoch. I love the word. I put more details about that for those that want to know more about the OP incentives. There's still plenty of time to participate. We have organized many events with other communities, including Layer 2 DAO, League DAO, OptiChats, OptiBunnies, Pull Together, among others. We made the first DAO to DAO token swap on Optimism with the Layer 2 DAO via Hedgy. And they did grant Thales an additional 27,000 OP tokens with no strings attached. I think that was pretty cool on their end. The token page received a redesign with the live burn count. You can check it in the brief there, thalesmarket.io/token. So far, like 200,000 Thales have been burned forever. With the latest TIP voted by the Thales Council, around 1,200 SUSD is being used from the SafeFox fee contract to just buy back Thales from the market and burn it. So we are at around 200,000 right now. Dan is not here with us today because he's representing Thales and overtime in SmartCon in New York, like the biggest in real life Chainlink conference. So I think that's pretty cool. Like, it's pretty bullish. I'm not able to read everything that you guys are typing. I hope Reddit's catching that. And also, like, on Thales development is that the Thales on-chain referral program keeps going strong, with the top three people who referred others earning between $1,000 and $2,000 in SUSD. I want to highlight that this referral program is quite unique. In the sense that after you refer someone, their wallet gets linked into the wallet that you use to refer them. And with each trade that they make, I don't want to say atomically, but kinda, with each trade they make from the same trade, you get a percentage out into your wallet directly, drop it in SUSD. No need to claim, or nothing else. So for those with broad audience and those who like to do threaders and just do Twitter threads and whatnot, check the Thales Market referral too. Guys, you can tell me if I'm going too fast. Is it okay?
No, this is a good speed.
Okay,
you're all good, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to be succinct, but I will obviously fail. Okay, so that was from Thales' side. You can drop any questions that you have in the chat, and we'll try to address after this monologue. Okay, so going into overtime, this is pretty exciting. We have new leagues added. We initially we launched like 2 months and a half ago with only MLB and MLS, like Major League of Baseball and Major League of Soccer. If I butcher any name, please excuse me. Red is the sportsman here. I'm not. So now we have NFL, mixed martial arts, like English Premier League, La Liga, Liga One, Serie A, the Champions League, MotoGP, Formula One for this weekend. That's a piece of alpha. And also college football. Coming soon, we have confirmed by the rundown, and it's maybe a piece of alpha, but we will have support for the FIFA World Cup. And also an NBA, like basketball, is coming. So for all the sport heads, sport fans, I don't know how you guys call yourselves, but they're pretty good support for these leagues now. We also crossed the 1 million USD in volume around 2 months since launch. Also, then in the briefing, there's a Dune dashboard to track overtime sports market volume for those that want to dig deeper, like how is the MM performing against the different sports and which sports are bringing the most fees. I think that's a pretty good one to check. Also a big shout out to Leifu. I think Leifu is in various ecosystem projects, and he's just killing it with his skills. So yeah, shout out to Leifu. Also, some interface changes, like done on the website, like odds displays now are in different formats, American format, decimal format. This was requested by your community, and I think it's great to see now, much easier to navigate. Also, we added multi-language support. We have support for many languages, including French, Spanish. I think even Kevin, I think Kevin's here, did the Thai translation. So yeah, we have overtime with the multi-language support now, and also added better filtering, so you can also add the URLs on the filters for more than one. Referrals is getting your own separated page on UI, like soon. Red has been organizing many different community activities. If you guys follow Overtime Twitter, you'll notice that there's always any given week sports trivia, fantasy, Premier League, Blue Bandana, OptiBanks raffles, Galaxy campaigns, whatever. Like Red is keeps warming up the community, and big shout out to him for just being such a chat with this. We have a new fee rebate incentive with up to 90% fee discount. This is very interesting for the guys that use Overtime or want to start using it. So you can check the Medium post with all the details. And also, like, the biggest thing is that the parlays are coming to Web3. This is the first to our knowledge time that parlays will be incorporated like as decentralized as possible. So the UI is being reworked, the contracts are being reworked to accommodate parlays, so that's coming soon. Okay, and last bit is just about exotic markets, like the third Thales protocol product built on top of Thales. And the OP incentives campaign started. You can find more details about that in the tweet. Still 1 week to participate, I think. The first Galaxy campaign finished with the OAT fully minted, as far as I know. So that was a success. We did some UX changes, and also over exotic now accepts multi-collateral, so more stables. And a bit of changes on the UI to add an extra field for market description. And we also crossed the $100,000 volume milestone with 1,000 trading addresses. And that would be it. I'm dry. Guys, if you have any questions regarding this, I will keep reading as I just continue this monologue, and we'll try to get to anyone. So yeah, that's what I had to share.
Awesome. Thank you so much, D-Monkey, and thank you to Red as well. You guys are fantastic over at Thales. You guys are doing so much. And I love lose my voice a little bit. I love that you started a phase drop to completely flood the GovCall chat. That is that's a great engagement.
Yeah,
as well.
Lovely, right? Lovely. Yeah, thanks, Matt. I'm sorry.
Yeah, No, that was great. It's always fantastic having you guys on.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. Okay, I'll shut up now.
All right, awesome. I will hand it over to Alex, the Bored Ape, over at Aelin for the Aelin updates.
It's actually Alex, the Lizard now. So this is going to be a short update. We launched NFT gated deals recently. Our first pool was with ETH Lizards and the Muse Group. And actually, we're having a call later with the Lizards to potentially form a partnership around their new staking platform. So the Lizards is an investment DAO, and they're excited about the possibility of using Aelin to get additional allocations for their NFT holders. The next big update is we have direct deals coming probably in the next 2 weeks, 2 weeks or less even maybe. This is going to be a dramatic UX improvement to the protocol, much easier workflow for investors and protocols that want to use Aelin for capital raising. The next update is that we just raised an additional 1.2 million SUSD through an Aelin pool sale. And we are going to be releasing a new roadmap, including UI V3 updates coming soon. And then actually, probably the biggest news from Aelin is that we're looking at doing a major pivot, basically launching almost a brand new protocol within Aelin using the Aelin token. And we will be reaching out to some of the Synthetics ecosystem partners before we go ahead with that pivot in order to make sure there's demand and that people are interested in the product. So we'll be reaching out to some of our ecosystem partners and just validating our idea. And then if we get positive validation, which so far we've gotten from everyone we've spoken to, there will be basically a major pivot for Aelin, including brand new tokenomics. And the capital raising module won't be going away, and we'll still be iterating on that, but we'll be introducing some major changes to the protocol. And that's it from my side. Let's see if there's any questions. Yeah, CyberDuck did it. Yeah. Hopefully it'll go better than that that GIF. But yeah, that's it from our side.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate the update on the Aelin side. And I will hand it over to Gotham from Polynomial. It's the first time that we've had them on. I will have him just do a quick intro of the protocol and then talk a little bit about the updates over at Polynomial.
Hey, glad to be here. I guess since it's like the first time, I'll just explain what Polynomial is. Polynomial, it's in a simple way, it's a place to earn yield based on market direction. So it uses the OG yield farming method, which is selling options. So most of the DeFi yield has died out in the current bear market. So Polynomial still allows users to earn yield. Like last week, FC call selling had like 35% APY and put selling had like 75% APY on stables. And so they don't come without risk. So we do this by using automated strategies, some with options and some with combining options and futures. And all of this is built on top of Synthetics. And just to go roughly through it, so call selling is ideal for neutral to bear market, and put selling is ideal for neutral to bull market, and Gamma Vault, which we released new, is for flash swings. And unlike other DOVs that exist, by selling options on chain, there are some advantages, and one of them is that we have like near instant deposits and withdrawals, so you don't have to wait a long time. And both the option selling has partial collateralization. So we sell option with 90% collateralization. And we didn't turn it on till last week. And still, like, we are having like higher yield compared to centralized alternatives like the Ribbon and others. But partial collateralization has been turned on. And then now we are also having multiple strike prices and expiries. And yeah, the product has been purely like no incentives till now, but we recently been part of the OP Quest, and we saw like a small uptick in the users. We are like around 5,000 users for the V2 alone, and V1 and V2 combined, we have like done around 50 million in notional volume. And Yeah, and we are planning to start OP liquidity mining soon. And if you tried Polynomial in the V1 version, we did like a small airdrop with OP, and you guys can go check it out in earn.polynomial.py/rewards and see if you got any OP. Yeah, so that's it. And so for us, like the future plans are mostly we have to fix our API and stuff because it's not consistent with everywhere. So we are working on improving stats and how people can like see what the risk and everything is there when you are in a vault. And another thing is like we are trying to improve the UX of the whole thing of coming to Optimism. So we are going to be enabling one-click cross-chain deposit. So essentially like a person has ETH in mainnet, they can deposit directly into Polynomial vault by a single transaction, something like that. And then we have a bunch of research projects in the pipeline, some involving futures, some involving options. So that's kind of the main idea, yeah.
All right, fantastic. That's everything for the Polynomial side, Gotham?
Yeah. Right. Mostly like we'll be adding like more vaults, BTC and all those things.
All right, fantastic. Thank you so much. It's great having you here as well. The Synthetics ecosystem is obviously expanding. So it's fantastic to have a new face on these calls. That's the end of the Synthetics community governance call. Thank you so much to everyone for coming today. This was fantastic. As said earlier, it's great having, the CCs, council members, ecosystem partners and so on one call to kind of talk through, what has happened over the last 3 months. DeFi and crypto as a whole, time kind of flies. And in 3 months, so much really happens. So thank you guys. I know this call is definitely long, an hour and 45 minutes. But thank you so much for coming. The recording for this will be posted, Privy Cake, and SNX Weave will handle that side of things. Thank you so much for coming. I love all of you, and have a nice rest of your day. Bye-bye for now.